Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to the Motivated Lawn Care Show. I'm your host, Caleb Nguyen, and today, sitting across from me in my living room, we have my official tax guy, Bobby Antonacci Jr. Is that how you pronounce it?
The third. Yeah, yes, there's three of us.
Okay.
I believe.
I gotta say, I think I've said your name on one other podcast when I was talking about like taxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. The last name, I like it, rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, appreciate that. I guess that's good. Then people will hopefully remember us.
I have no idea how to spell it, but you know.
I don't either, so it doesn't matter. But right. No, man, I'm happy to be here today, sitting in your living room, and ready to get into whatever you got for me.
All right. So first, because we always like to start out with a little bit of story time. How did you get into taxes specifically? I know that your dad, I want to say, was kind of in the business.
Yeah.
So that was kind of your foray. Do you have like a story behind that? How'd you get into it?
Yeah. So I woke up one day and really just fell in love with taxes. And obviously, I'm kidding. Nobody does that. But it's definitely a good business to get into. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Ben Franklin said there's only two certainties in life, death and taxes.
Yeah.
So the business isn't going to go anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
And what happened was my father, like you just said, was in the business for, call it, 20 years or so. I think he got into private practice in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. So he had it. He also had some political ambitions, so he was getting elected to various offices. And during that process, he ended up running for a position that you couldn't have outside income in. Okay, so his only income and only job was going to have to be this elected position.
Yeah.
At the time, I was 20 years old. I was in college, didn't really have a clue what I was doing or what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So he talked to me one day and said, "Hey, look, I gotta give up this business. I know you're starting accounting," and I'm like, "Yeah, Dad, let's see if this can work." Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I had no clue what I was doing. I got in there and it was the middle of February or so when I first started. So, the season, tax season's basically January to April 15th.
Yeah.
So we're right in the middle of it and we got to learn on the fly. I got to figure out what's going on. The clients are texting me while I'm at college.
Yeah.
Emailing me, calling me, and I'm very confused at this point. Certainly, we had a much smaller client base than I do now.
Okay.
But at the time, just getting started, as with anything, it was a challenge. Yeah. Because I had to learn a lot of the mechanics of how the program works, the tax law, certainly learn the people.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of them were close friends and family and good clients, so it helped.
Yeah.
But it still was, it was a grind, and it was brutal. And I was playing
with college, too.
Yeah, with college, yeah. And I was playing baseball at the time, too.
Oh, man.
So we had the college baseball season. You had tax season. You had the second semester of my junior year.
Yeah.
It was definitely difficult. But then after that, you start to retain some things. Certainly, we put a lot of people on extension, so we were able to do taxes after the season.
Okay.
As long as you file this extension. And in the
summer.
So it was
like all you did while you were in college was just like filing extensions the whole time?
Well, we did a lot of extensions, but we got some done. There was no doubt we got some done. But a lot of people did go on extension that year specifically, and even the next year. But once we got past the deadline through school and whatnot, that summer, Dad and I were able to sit down and really get into how these things worked and get into the files much more in depth to teach me.
Yeah.
So I went through that whole process in college, and then finally he was able to relinquish control of the business to me almost entirely, mm-hmm. and I went from there.
Okay, so how many years has it been?
This will be year six.
Wow.
Yeah, hard to believe. So I started in the spring of 18. I was 20 years old, junior in college, and here we are. I'll be 26 next year. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey to get here. And since then, I mean, we've grown the business with my new place out in Liverpool that you've been to, Syracuse Wealth Management.
Yeah.
And it's been straight uphill for the most part after that.
Yeah.
So been good.
Yeah. So how many people do you have like me? Because So I got your contact information from Danny Bova, which if you guys have not listened to his interview, I interviewed him on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
It was like my second one, and we just came and we just talked for like an hour and a half, and it's like super long, but it was really good. And when I was first starting like this year, because I'd never done anything very official before, and I was like, I had no clue what I was doing. I was like, Danny, who's your guy? So I just called you, and you're like super chill. I was like, yeah, come on out to my house. I was like, all right, you know. So we went to the office at your house, which... Was that before you had moved to Syracuse Wealth Management, or were you already there?
Yeah, I was already there. I figured since you were on this side of town, it'd probably be easier just to, you know, get to know you. Yeah. Because I didn't want you to come out to the office, drive all that way, and then, you know, you'd be like somebody I didn't want to work with.
Yeah.
At least if we were close, so it would make sense if it just, you know, didn't work out, it'd be an easy trip. Obviously it did, but yeah, so I had already been at Syracuse Wealth Management, but I still had the office at the house.
Okay.
It makes life a lot easier on like the weekends.
Yeah.
Bring stuff home, can roll out of bed in the morning and get stuff done and work throughout the day.
Yeah.
When I work at home, my favorite time to work is like 7 p.m. to about 10.
Okay.
Because there's no interruptions, there's nothing going on, and it's really easy to dig into stuff when I'm at the house.
Yeah. So. I do like first thing in the morning, like wake up like the earliest, even like before you go work out, just like an hour. Just whenever people are not calling you is when you can actually get stuff done.
Yeah, that was something Dad taught me early on too. He said during the day you get all like the busy work done and stuff that if you get interrupted or a phone call or something happens, you don't have to re-put yourself into some, you know, state of mind. So get all that done during the day, and then at night is when you do your work that you need to really think and concentrate on, because people aren't going to just be interrupting you.
Yeah. So how many people like me and Danny do you have are like in your client base, like lawn, landscape guys?
So I have three.
Okay.
Yeah, you two and then another.
Okay.
That are in the lawn landscaping field.
Okay.
Okay. Whether it's lawn landscaping or another type of business, it
service base is pretty similar.
Yeah, you guys all operate a similar way. Like for example, I have a plumber that I also work with.
Yeah,
you're all, in my mind at least, operating the same way. So as you see various businesses come in, you start to see patterns, and it starts to get a lot easier to advise those people because you've seen things before, and it just makes bringing new people on much smoother.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So what are some like bigger write-offs? Because like almost everyone asks, like, oh, what are the big write-offs? I'm like, I personally don't really know. Like, what are some stuff that a lot of, like, maybe a lot of us are probably missing out on, like the lawn landscape or even service-based plumbing, that kind of stuff's all pretty similar. What are some like bigger write-offs that we're missing out on that we like don't realize?
Well, I'd say let's start with what you can't deduct.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Like I said, I try to keep people that are similar operating a similar way on the tax side. So when somebody like you comes in, I know what we're probably going to be able to deduct right away. But also, it's my job to make sure we don't get too aggressive. And then you start getting letters from the IRS in New York State. So my job is to keep people protected from themselves, from the government, whoever. Just because I know how the tax code would work, what are red flags that might get you audited or get a letter sent to you. So some things that you can't necessarily take when you're first starting out, certainly actual expenses for a car. That's a big one that people get confused on.
You just got to take mileage.
You're going to take mileage. So if you're spending money on gas or repairs, tires, stuff like that, that stuff's probably not going to be able to be deducted starting out. Down the line, you can take those as you grow and develop and maybe form an entity or add more cars and trucks to your fleet type of deal.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, people get very confused with that. They can't take the actual expenses that they spend on cars and trucks. Certainly gas and repairs for your equipment.
Right.
You know, leaf blower or weed whacker, stuff like that. That can be included in there.
Yeah.
But for the vehicle, that trips people up. Another one is meals and entertainment.
Okay.
So if you're out with the crew, you can deduct half of the meals. So it's not a full deduction.
Yeah.
There is no entertainment anymore. There used to be an entertainment. When I first started, you could deduct like an entertainment expense. You're out, you're, you know, at a bar or wherever, you can have entertainment for the business. That has since disappeared. So those are the big ones that I find that people you know, say, why? I can't deduct that. And it's like, yeah, unfortunately, the way you're set up, it's just, it's not going to happen.
So does it change when you have like an LLC or like an S corp or C corp? Does it change with that?
Somewhat. You'll be able to, again, get the actual expenses for cars and trucks as you grow.
Right.
You can also deduct the car fully. Okay, so you can depreciate the car fully. If you get a $50,000 vehicle, you can write that off in that first year.
Okay.
The catch is, if you sell it, then you're paying tax on whatever you sell it for, not necessarily if there's a gain.
Yeah.
So if you buy the car again for $50,000, you sell it for $40,000 a few years later, that $40,000 is all subject to tax.
Okay.
Right. So it's a trade-off. But again, if you're making a ton of money and you purchase a vehicle, you're going to want to deduct that in the first year potentially, and you can save yourself some money then and just defer the tax. Maybe the car's worth less then, so the tax burden isn't as high.
Okay.
All right, so those are some pitfalls I see people fall into saying, why can't I deduct this? Certainly, like you just said, the biggest one is mileage. You guys are driving everywhere in the lawn landscaping business. So having mileage is going to be something that you're going to want to keep track.